It's Ham Nation time again, and tonight we're talking all about the youth. We're going to talk about the Intrepid DX Club and their essay contest. We're going to have Neil Rapp and a couple of really incredible youth ham radio operators on to talk about Virtual Yoda Day. We're going to have the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline, a really interesting solar update from Dr. T. Gordon's here, Bob's here, Amanda's here, and we're going to say so long to a great American, Charlie Daniels. So pull up a stool. Ham Nation's coming on right now. Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 461 for July 8th, 2020, Intrepid DX and Virtual Yoda Activities.
Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, and we're talking to you from our Belleville studio, Belleville, Illinois. And we have a wonderful show tonight. This is a very meaningful show. Don is here. Don, are you doing well?
I am doing well. I'm doing very well. We're getting ready to head up to Cincinnati over the weekend for a wedding of a fairly prominent ham who actually we'll speak with him a little bit later on tonight. And I know that Charlie Daniels used Heil microphones and you and Charlie were very close. And of course, we lost Charlie a couple of days ago. So we're wearing our hats in memory of and in solidarity with a great American, Charlie Daniels, who has gone on to his great reward.
Charlie was a good friend of mine. I'll come back to that. Neil is here with some special guests tonight, too. Neil, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bob. It's been a busy, busy week, but we're here.
I bet. Yeah.
We're trying to prepare for the arrival of the Wilbanks.
Going to be a big time wedding. And you have Emma with you. And Case, I look forward to you talking about them because this is real special, our Yota winners. And I want to hear about it. And that's what we're going to do in just a little. We also have Paul with us in 6PSE. Paul, how are you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing terrific. Thank you.
Glad to be with you. We're going to get into your wonderful thing at the Intrepid Group real soon. But, I want to say a couple of words about Charlie. He was a great friend of Sarah and I's and the company for over 10 or 11 years. He used all of our microphones on the stage. He wouldn't allow anything else. We were very blessed. But, of course, they did perform. And one of the shows that we did, he had his one of his office gals there, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, size him up." And I didn't quite know what he meant. Well, what he meant was this. I have a lot of things from a lot of artists, but nothing like this. He had this hat special made and engraved to me from Charlie Daniels. And of course, every time we would go to a Charlie show, and there were many, I had to wear the hat. Of course I did. And so we're going to miss him so much. He was a great American. He's the only artist out of all the hundreds, if it's not over 1,000 shows we did, that right in the middle of the show, he called for all the house lights up. He invited everybody to stand and remove cover and pledge allegiance to the flag, which was always on his stage. That was part of the stage setting. But then he told everybody what he was going to do. And he said, if none of you want to stay for this, there is a back exit. In all the shows, I never saw anybody leave. And at the end of the whole presentation of that, and the band played Star Spangled Banner, he sat on a stool by himself, one little spotlight, and sang American Amazing Grace. And it was really touching. But he was a great American and a wonderful, wonderful musician. So I have to say hats off to Charlie. He was really, really something, and we're going to miss him. The whole country's going to miss Charlie. Well, somebody that we have to bring on board, by the way, I want to let you know that somewhere down the line, it looks like maybe in about 30 minutes, you're going to hear from Gordo. He's got some really cool shots tonight. We're going to do that. And George is going to be here with little ICOM things. But first, we're going to go out to the West Coast and talk to Paul, N6PSE. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good evening, Bob. I'm doing very well tonight. Thank you. Very glad to be with you.
All this craziness that we have, but ham radio keeps us from going crazy, I guess. But you're a part of the Intrepid DX group, and I really appreciate you being here because, you know, we hear about DXpeditions and what you guys do, but yours is kind of special. And the reason I say that is that you're not just a group that goes out and plays radio and gives us all these great foreign countries, but tell us about what I see here. These are some of the things you do while you're on these really far out places. What do we see there, Paul?
That's correct, Bob. Working with youth has always been a part of our focus since our inception. And what you see there is Al K3VN and David K3LP proctoring a U.S. Amateur radio license exam session at the Addis Ababa Technology University in Ethiopia. It was our hope that we could license some kids there and that they could then get reciprocal licenses in Ethiopia and that there would be more activity coming out of Ethiopia. So we had over 60 students there take the exam. I believe that almost everyone passed, and so there were a lot of licenses were issued.
Wow, that's great.
And here we are. We're in Juba, South Sudan in 2011. South Sudan became a new country, and we went there to do the ST0R expedition. And there was a large school across the street. And one day I went over and met the headmaster and invited him to bring his students over to see amateur radio activity. And sure enough, they came marching over, and we cycled everybody through the shack to see us making contacts.
How cool.
This is also the same group in Juba, South Sudan. There's David K3LP, unfortunately now a silent key. He's there operating.
Yeah, that was quite a sad thing about David. We'll come back to that.
And then here we're proctoring this is the first exam in Addis Ababa. You see Bill N2WildBe, David K3LP, and Al K3VN. They're speaking to the group, basically giving them some instruction about the exam process, and the kids are just about to start taking the exams.
Man, look at all. This is just amazing to me that you can do that.
There was a lot of interest in amateur radio there. They have a really nice club station there at the university in Addis Ababa. There I am right in the middle proctoring the exam. Everybody's got their head down and they're taking their test.
This is serious stuff for them.
Here we are in the island of Rotuma, also in 2011. Harani YT1AD there at the chalkboard, and Atalano Ohms PY5EG there in the blue shirt is giving instruction to a high school class in Rotuma. We were there in 2011 for the 3D2RD expedition. And there's the team. This is the Conway Reef team in 2012. Here's the 7 Oscar 6 Tango team from Yemen, also 2012.
You guys are something.
And here's our small group. We operated from the club station there, ET3AA, for about 9 days in Ethiopia. So that's our team. And in 2015, we made several goodwill visits trying to promote amateur radio. This is the Intrepid DX group. We're in Tehran, Iran. And we met with the licensing authority there and answered a lot of questions. And ultimately, we came away with permission that we could get a license if we decided to follow up on that.
Oh, that was great.
And in 2016, we activated South Sandwich as VP8STI and South Georgia as VP8SGI.
Yeah, that was a biggie for all of us up here to work.
And in 2015, we were invited to join with Zorro. I was his co-leader, operating from Asmara, Eritrea's Echo 30 Fox Bravo. That was the first time Eritrea had been on the air in quite a while.
That's kind of your mantra, because you go to these places that people haven't gone.
Yeah, here's the team in southern Sudan in 2011. We were there for 21 days and made over 121,000 contacts.
My gosh.
That was a brand new country, so everybody needed it. It was like P5. Everybody needed it.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
We could just go on forever and ever, and we're going to come back to you. And if maybe another month when you get things really rolling on the thing that I want to talk about, it, that's your dream rig contest. But I wanted everyone to know that your whole organization is just loaded with people that understand the importance of ham radio in foreign countries. And we all get to work you guys up here and put the card on the wall and so on, but you guys are spending your life going out to there, and you're teaching them what not only ham radio is, but English and everything else they learn from it. So I really appreciate what Intrepid is doing. Tell us about this dream rig contest.
Yeah, with the COVID-19 pandemic, we've sort of been sidelined in doing some of the de-expeditions that we had planned to do. It's pretty much impossible to travel anywhere now. So we thought, what can we do while we're sitting on the bench? What can we do to help youth, to promote amateur radio to the young people? And so I came up with this idea for a dream rig essay contest. Basically, we want to strengthen our connection with the youth, and we want to reach out to them and ask them, what can we do to make amateur radio more appealing to our young people?
Well, the thing that I noticed is that you're actually getting them a license to be on the air. So some of these kids are going to do things that they never thought were possible because of the Intrepid group. And how do they enter this dream contest? How will that happen?
It's a very simple process. Because it's our first year in doing it, we made the criteria that the person had to be 19 years or younger, and they had to hold any U.S. amateur license. We know that dealing with some countries, they're just fraught with problems in terms of customs, fees, and red tape and stuff. So we thought, let's keep it simple for this first year. Anyone with a amateur radio license from the U.S. is eligible. And they have two questions. Tell us, what are your goals and aspirations with ham radio, and what can we do to better understand the appeal of amateur radio to our youth. What can we do to promote amateur radio? And we've received about 20 essays so far. They're very nice, very well thought out, and some really, really great responses to the questions that we ask. So we're really excited.
That's really neat that you're going to make them type or write an essay. That's great. Where can they learn more about this? I guess just go to your website, right?
Yeah, they can go to our website, intrepid-dx.com, or our Facebook page, the Intrepid DX Group. And we have information on there. We've also put information on the main page of QRZ.com, and then also under the news on eham.net. Or they can email me. I'm good in QRZ.com. If they want any information or have any questions, send me an email. I'll answer everybody's questions.
Okay. That'll be something we can do, and that's easily done. But you want to go to the website. That's the best thing. Victor has the website there, and we'll put that up for you. Just dial up the website, and you'll have all your questions there. And let's get involved. If you know some young operators or young children that you want to bring along in a hobby, this is a great way to do it. I really look forward to having you back. We'll do it a couple of times before, and then we'll have to have the winner and see how they won this with an essay, and that'll be just terrific. We'll make sure that Heil Sound is there if you need some extra prizes or whatever. So got to do that, because one thing I noticed, by the way, almost every slide you had, every picture you guys are all using our headsets. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
But we really go out the length to make sure that we support you guys with all the gear and things that we can do. So that's one of the things that we do. But I want to personally thank you and everyone at the Intrepid Group for what you're doing, not just the de-expeditions now, but the tutoring that you're doing and bringing more people into this great hobby of ham radio, Paul. This is absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're having a great time, and we're really enjoying it. It's really enjoyable to work with the youth. They're the future.
Yeah, you got it. Well, thank you. Stay safe, and I'll be back to you, and we'll have you here again, and we'll learn more about what you guys are doing out there. In the meantime, why make sure you're observing all of your crazy things we have to do today, because we do want to stay safe. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. I wanted to, before I get down to Don, I want to do one other thing too. We're really slammed on the wall about this. I mean, I talked to some of his staff yesterday, and we're all like, you'll notice the microphone that he has. We built that custom for him. It's the American flag, because I don't know of anyone, I mean person, that's more into the country and America and our founding than Charty Daniels was. So we built him a PR-35. I have another one here, and I thought I had it tonight, but it's up at the shop. I'll have to bring it next time and show it to you. But one of the other things in closing, I'll let you, we talked about this briefly, but one of the shows after that, he had one of his gals find me a hat, and they had a custom build for me, and it's a really big prize possession of mine, and I get a lot of things from my groups, but this is it. I got guitars and all this, but this is kind of special, and it says to Bob Heil from Charty Daniels. And it's one of the very, very wonderful things that I have that I cherish. And it was not a cheap thing for him to do. But I thought I would wear that tonight in honor of Charlie. And we all can give our blessings to he and his family and all of his musicians. That was special to me. So enough of all my rambling from this. I really appreciated Paul being on. That's quite a thing. You want to look this up, Intrepid. Look, check them out. We want to stay in touch with this rig contest. That'd be really great. So, Don, I appreciate you wearing your hat tonight.
I think Charlie would approve of the band. It's just a cheap straw, but I think Charlie would approve of the band. You know, he was very, very active on Twitter, and I used to look forward to his tweets. He just had a way with words and didn't mince words at all. With Charlie Daniels, I didn't know the man personally. I'd never met him, but of course I've been a big fan for all of my broadcast life and before that. Played a lot of Charlie Daniels records on the radio in my day. He was just, what you saw was what you got with Mr. You Charlie. And if you didn't like it, well, too bad. The road goes both ways. And he's just a great guy. We're gonna miss Charlie. And I know you've got some great memories. I want to congratulate Paul and the Intrepid DX group there for working with the youth. As you know, Amateur Radio Newsline's extremely proud of youth amateur radio operators. And so, as such, for 30-some-odd years now, we've been doing the Young Ham of the Year Award, which, of course, is imminent. An announcement is imminent. I understand that they're very, very close to naming the 2020 Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Young Ham of the Year recipient, and we'll let you know about that as soon as we find out. Good friend of Newsline, good friend of Young Ham of the Year, a good friend to us all, a great teacher, Mr. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, is here with us tonight. Neil's a chemistry teacher and also is at the helm of arguably one of the top youth clubs, school clubs, always does very well on the school club roundup there. Give us a plug for the school club there, Neil, before we get into the business of the evening.
Yeah, the school is Bloomington High School South in Bloomington, Indiana, and call sign is K9SOU, and we've been reactivated for, I think, 17 years now. We actually found that there was a club there in 42, but we've had some gaps there, we've had over 100 kids come through the program, thousands exposed to ham radio there, and it's been a great time.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations on your wedding coming up on Saturday. I'm so thrilled that Dawn and I are going to be able to be up there and celebrate you and Julie's new life together. Couldn't be happier, my friend. I love both of you, and I'm just so thrilled. So want to get that out of the way now. Let's talk about youth on the air, because that's why you're here, and we've got a couple of very special guests. So, Neil, tell us all about what's going on with this.
Yeah, we do, and I look forward to seeing you here in a couple of days. That'll be great. A couple of weeks ago, we did a virtual Yoda Day. So we couldn't have the camp. It was supposed to be that week before Field Day. And because of the pandemic, we couldn't have that. So we promised that we would, you know, get everybody together and do something. And so we put together about 6 hours. It turned out to be about 6.5 hours of stuff that you could do from home. And one of the things that we did between the informational sessions or lectures or whatever, presentations, whatever you want to call it, we did some competitions. And we gave away some prizes. And Heil Sound, of course, graciously gave us some prizes, as did DX Engineering and R&L Electronics. So I sent Bob a list of all the winners, and he said, oh, let's announce these on the show. And I said, well, I don't have any pictures yet. And he's like, well, let's have some of the kids on. So tonight we have two of our winners with us, Case Van Osprey, W0AAE, and Emma Hardman, VE3EHT. So they're here tonight, so we can talk a little bit about that. So, Vic, if you got the slides ready to go, we'll dive in there. So youthontheair.org, and we do have our camp dates just about ready to announce for 2021. So we'll be making that announcement here in a couple of weeks about when we're rescheduling the camp for summer 2021. Thanks to all of our prize donors. We couldn't have prizes without you. So thank you to Heil Sound, DX Engineering, and RNL. So the competitions that we did, the first one, Case, W0AAE, who is here, was the winner of our pileup competition. So Case, tell everybody about what you had to do for the pileup competition and what you won.
All right. So I had I was on the computer. So a guy with a recording played back a bunch of call signs that were in like a pileup or a contest pileup, something like that. First, they did one with just American, just normal American call signs. Those were easier. They could were kind of all jumbled together at once. And so you had to pick them out as you were going along at the recording. The recording was about a minute and 10 seconds long. And so it's longer than you think. So writing all your call signs down that you that were said in that period of time was the key to winning it. And they did about two rounds of that. First round was easier because they were split up differently. Split up into easier rounds, and they were much louder call signs. There were much louder people on the air. And then the second one was basically fast call signs, fast American call signs that just normal contesting, you'd notice how big the pileups were and everything like that. Third round, third or so round, there might have been another round after that, but third round, they had accents with DX, so Germany, Sweden, all the DX, just every DX call sign they were thinking of via JA. There was a JA in there. And then there was a stroke station in there, which was that one I did not get. People were pretty stumped over that one. So what you had to do, just write them down and report them right back to the camera after it was done. And they graded you on it. I think the proctor missed a couple call signs in there. As I said, I was like, I swear I heard that call sign in there. People were replying back, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was right. And everything like that. But that was good. And then, it was great prize. I love the prize. Mr. Heil, thank you for the prize. I love it so much. It goes well with my 7300 and everything. So a lot of fun.
Yeah, so he got a BM-17 headset, and he's already putting it to use. So that was a great prize. And our second place was actually somebody from Youngsters on the Air from over in Europe. Aline, TF2EQ, won a foot switch from Heil Sound and sent all of that over to her. And she did well. And one thing Jocelyn noticed, KD8VRX, and was telling me about was Aline did so much better when we had the DX call signs. And then everybody from North America was, you know, they were doing great with the U.S. call signs and the Canadian call signs. But she really got the foreign ones because that's what she was used to. So that was kind of cool. So that was the pileup competition that we had. The next competition we did was a virtual fox hunt. And so what they did was they would use an online receiver and Sterling N0SSC taught them how to use this TDOA technology that's built in to track down transmitters. And so we had the Cat in the Hat guy, K0NEB, Joe Eisenberg, as our mystery station. And we had him transmit part of a Newsline report. And everybody was tracking down where that was coming from. So Aline won that, and she got one of those headsets as well. And Michael, W3MLJ, got a Heil Sound t-shirt, and Cassandra, K1GTC got an RNL hat, and that is not Cassandra there, by the way. That is Sparky, and Sparky is the dog of the McElroy family, which I think you saw Audrey in the picture before there. She said Sparky wanted to wear the hat, so there's Sparky. So there we go. And then the last competition we did was called Collect the Numbers. And Michael W3MLJ won a Heil Sound HS2 push talk trigger, which is my favorite. I like that better than the foot switch, but that's just me. And then Emma, who is with us tonight, VE3EHT, got the Heil Sound t-shirt for the Collect the Numbers competition. So Emma, tell us about the competition and what you had to do and how you went about it and everything about the Collect the Numbers.
Okay, so basically we used a web SDR, so we didn't need to actually use a radio, and we went around hunting for different call signs. So our goal was to collect a call sign that had a 0 to a 9 in it. So we needed a total of 10. And then whoever could collect the most won. And it was a new experience for me. I've never used a web SDR, but it was fun to try to skim through the frequencies and adjust things because it's a completely new program for me. Just figuring it out, especially when you're on air with a bunch of other folks. It was stressful, but it was a lot of fun to go through. And also then you get to hear people's conversations without having to do too much of the work yourself.
So what were some of the, do you remember what some of the locations were that you had? Did you have any DX, or were they all US and Canada? Do you remember?
I had a couple US, I believe. I honestly, it's been a couple weeks. I couldn't tell you.
Sure. Yeah. But Emma did well. And, was able to collect several of those numbers before the time ran out. So, Emma, we look forward to seeing you at camp next summer, and thanks for being involved in the virtual day. Then we had a couple of door prizes. We gave away some DX Engineering gift certificates that they provided for us. And Michael W3MLJ won the one from the Yoda campers that were online, and I understand he's already bought a microphone and a foot switch, I believe is what he said, with that. And then Charles, AA4LS, was on YouTube. He wasn't a camper this time. Charles has helped us out with Yoda Month in December, and I'm sure he'll be back in there again. But I think he had some conflicts for the camp this year, but maybe we'll get him at some point. But anyway, he was watching on YouTube and playing along at home, and so he won our viewer prize. So he got a $100 gift certificate as well to DX Engineering. So thanks to DX Engineering for doing that. And then we surprised everybody, and we said we were giving away a grand prize, but I don't think people quite expected the grand prize to be that kind of a grand prize. So everybody kind of had a funny look on the face when I pulled an ICOM 7300 out. RNL Electronics graciously gave us the ICOM IC7300 to give away to one of our campers. And Peter, N8PJL up in Michigan, was our winner. And he is a technician class, so now everybody told him that was in the chat that said, you don't have any excuse, you have to upgrade now. So he's been working on that. We invited Peter to be with us tonight, and his father, who's also a ham, was having surgery today, and so they send along their best, and we wish Peter's dad a speedy recovery. But they were not able to be with us tonight. But those are our prize winners from Virtual Yoda Day. So we look forward to seeing everybody at the camp next summer and getting involved with the December Yoda Month in December. So, Don, that's That's it. Those are our winners.
Congratulations, Case and Emma and everybody else. This is awesome. I got to tell you, and congratulations to you and everybody else that worked on this, Neil, because you guys went, I mean, you had a great in-person event planned, and then all of a sudden COVID comes along and throws all that under the train, and it gets crushed, of course, as the COVID train rolls along. And to be able to put all this back together in a virtual arena like this, is just, I mean, my hat's off to you. That took a whole lot of, that took a whole lot of work, and you are to be congratulated. Absolutely. Everybody involved with this is to be congratulated.
Yeah, we had a great team. Everybody, you know, split up and did their part. Jocelyn ran one of the competitions. Sterling N0SSC ran one of the competitions and taught everybody the virtual fox hunt stuff. Sam Rose, KC2LRC, did the Collect the Numbers competition and some of the web SDR stuff. And then Audrey McElroy just knocked it out of the park at the very beginning with a medium altitude balloon launch that she did just for that day. She filmed it the Saturday before and did the whole thing. And then she was around to answer questions, and we talked about where it went, and it was just a fabulous presentation. So if you get a chance, get on our YouTube channel, Youth on the Air, and take a look at the whole thing. But definitely Audrey's presentation to start with was just fabulous. And then Marty NN1C and Bryant KG5HVO talked all about contesting and gave some really great tips on how to get started into contesting. And then Ruth Willett KM4LAO talked about some of the history of satellites. And all the presentations were just fabulous. I put it all together. They did the work. So hats off to them. And we're glad that we could do something. We would rather have done the camp, but this will do for now. So hopefully next summer we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And, you know, I'm just honored and thrilled to be able to present the Young Ham of the Year Award every year for the late Bill Pasternak, who brought me into this literally weeks after I got my license. They're like, hey, you need to be part of this. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? So to have been a part of Amateur Radio Newsline for now, you know, 25 years of my 25-year amateur radio stint is pretty amazing. But I say it every year I get up on stage at the Huntsville Ham Fest, which sadly we won't be able to do this year. But, you know, you only hear in the news about the bad apples, the bad actors of the youth. And let me tell you something. There's a heck of a lot more good kids, great kids, kids that don't get in trouble, kids that are respectful, kids that are brilliant, kids that are smart. And those are the ones that are going to be running the world. And I say it every year that if these kids in amateur radio are an example of who's going to be running the world when we're gone, we're fine. I think that Absolutely. We are fine. Just, you know, ignore the bad news and concentrate on the good news and just nurture everybody. Love everyone. And just do what you can for youth and bring a kid to a ham fest, bring a kid to field day, set up a radio in the park one day, not because it's field day or because your club's doing it, just do it and put a sign up, say, hey, you want to learn about ham radio, want to learn how to talk to the world? Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a social distance now, but I'm saying there's a lot of ways to get kids involved in amateur radio. And by the way, I'm with you on these triggers. These are the best things since sliced bread.
Oh, they are.
Bob hit a home run
with this. They absolutely are. And I'll tell you, you've got two of those kids right here online with us tonight. Case and Emma, we're proud of them. And I know Emma's been on the show before. And Case, I'll give a little sneak peek here. Case actually wrote the column for National Contest Journal for the next one coming out. And just Nice. Submitted that a couple of days ago, and he wrote a very nice article about a contest that he created with some of his friends. So that's coming up in the National Contest Journal here in the next issue.
Very good. We have Amanda out in Colorado wants to come on and ask some questions. K1DDN, there you are. You're looking lovely as always.
Well, thank you. Not as lovely as our two youths, though. Boy, do they bring a lot to the ham radio spirit, I have to say that. So, Case and Emma, so thank you so much for joining us this evening. I did already have a couple questions from the chat room that I wanted to address. Emma, we'll start with you, ladies first. So, everyone wants to know what license you hold.
So in Canada, we have the two. We have kind of our more basic level, and then we have an advanced. So I only have my more basic first level. I'm working on towards the advanced eventually, but I'm not in too big of a hurry quite yet.
That's perfectly fine. Everyone starts here as a technician and moves up. So awesome. And the next thing we had is what got you into ham radio?
It was actually my dad. My dad's been a ham for years and years. So when I was growing up, he would bring me to things like Field Day. He would bring me to all the conventions. Not Ohio yet, which I was hoping this year. But just bringing me around to the different shops, seeing friends. I used to go to Radio Breakfast every week with him. It just got me interested in the atmosphere and just kind of the, I don't know, the whole hobby, building, working.
Absolutely. That's a great answer, by the way. And I wish you would have been at Dayton this year, because this would have been my first year as well. So it's too bad. Maybe next year, right? All right, Case, let's talk with you. Same questions. What license do you hold, and what got you into ham radio?
So I'm a general class license, and I've been a general for about a year since this past February. And I'm working on the extra. I'm hoping to get the extra just to get a better call sign, a 1x2 or a 2x1 call sign for contesting, or just the privileges. One, I'm so angry that I only get 14.225 to 300, and I just want that extra space for contesting, because I always have to stop right at 14.225, and I cannot go farther to work DX in the other portion during a DX contest. But hopefully that'll come here soon. I've been busy this summer, so I haven't done it. Haven't gotten into the amateur extra, and school coming up, so I might not do it this year, but next year I'm definitely going to do it.
That's great. And I got to tell you, the extra is pretty rough. And now they have a new question pull out. And I actually heard that it might be a little bit easier now, because they've made more relevant questions. So maybe they'd be more understandable. But thanks, you two, for sticking around. And if you want to, you can stick around for the rest of the show, and we'll get you some more questions there. Does that sound good to both of you?
That sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay, Neil, I have one for you, and this is not a question, my friend, but a big hello. Oh, I know. Can you believe it? People in the chat room are actually a fan of yours. They are, and they follow you, and they know you have a big day coming up. So they really wanted to say congratulations.
Well, thank you. I look forward to being on N4J tomorrow, and you see that antenna in Case's background there. I've actually talked to Case on satellite a couple of times, and we're going to try for tomorrow doing the special event call sign for the wedding. And hopefully tomorrow night I can sneak over to the Voice of America Museum maybe and get HM for a little bit, I hope. So we'll try to spot that. And then Friday and Saturday, I don't know. We'll see what Julie lets me get away with, but we'll see. And then maybe a little bit on Sunday. We'll see. Tomorrow.
I think this is absolutely awesome. I can't believe you're adding so much amateur radio and that Julie is okay with it. God bless Julie, I would like to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
K1 congratulations to both you and Julie. And stick around. We're going to be talking to the kiddos a little bit more here at the end of the show. We appreciate it. Don, back to you.
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah, Julie is a sweetheart. I've been enamored with Julie ever since the first day that I really met her and was around her and spoke with her. And she's so funny, and she's smart. She's brilliant. She's a high school Spanish teacher. It's elementary school or middle school.
No, it's high school Spanish.
Is it high school Spanish? Okay.
Yeah.
But and she does great work. She does mission work down in Mexico every summer. She's beautiful inside and out.
Yeah.
And if you see
that plate back here, that came back from one of the mission trips. She goes down to Guadalajara every summer and works at an orphanage down there. And she and the matron of honor are out. I'm actually at Julie's tonight. Just got over here this afternoon. She and the matron of honor are out right now getting massages.
Awesome. Perfect.
So there you go.
That's perfect. Well, you guys are perfect for each other. I'm so happy that you found each other at this stage in your lives. And my wife and I will have been married 36 years in September. And I wish for you and Julie what we have, because literally it seems like 36 minutes for us. So that is what I wish for you, my friend. So, and thanks for coming on tonight.
We look forward to seeing you here in a couple of days.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so thrilled that we're able to, Dawn and I are able to make the trip. Tyler, not able to come. He just got a new job, as a matter of fact. So we're thrilled for him in 7TMW. He hasn't done much ham radio stuff because he's been too busy with school and work and everything else that he does. But we're proud of him. We're proud of you. And we're proud of Julie. And we're proud of Emma. And we're proud of Case. We're proud of everybody. We're just ate up with the proud around here. Let's go ahead and get into, and we'll come back with more with Neil and the kids. But first, let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2227, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. What happens when a good idea for an activation just keeps growing and growing? Undeterred by COVID-19, that's what's happening in Europe among soda enthusiasts.
This year's Austrian Soda Activities Day is planned for September 19th. It's normally a radio event combined with a social event afterward, but with the COVID-19 safeguards in place, organisers are looking for a new way to gather safely in the beer garden outside the Gasthaus. Meanwhile, soda operators in Switzerland have become inspired by the Soda Day announcement by Martin, OE5REO. The Swiss Association manager Jörg, HP9BIN, has suggested that operators there could hold a second activity day coinciding with the one in Austria. Now, SOTA organisations in other German-speaking countries are hoping to expand this yet further, garnering interest from Alpen countries such as France and Italy. Could this become the first Europe-wide event of its kind? One thing is for sure, on September 19th, the Alpen Hills will be alive with RF music. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
A ham station that doubled as an educational exhibit at a NASA facility is looking for a new home.
Amateur radio station KE4ZXW is leaving its longtime home at the Virginia Air and Space Center in Hampton, Virginia. Operated by the VASC Amateur Radio Group with the support of other amateur radio clubs, the station served as a real-life educational exhibit, giving school groups and other visitors demonstrations of VHF, UHF, HF, and satellite communications using CW, voice, and digital modes. The station was also capable of communications with the International Space Station. That ended on June 30th, the station's last day at the center, which is the official visitor center for the Langley, Virginia facility of NASA. The center's executive director and CEO, Robert Griesmer, said the station would be seeking a new home. It has been off the air since March 13th at the request of the center due to the COVID-19 pandemic. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
It's time once again for the Intrepid DX Group's annual Youth Essay Contest. Newsline anchor Stephen Kinford, N8WB, has the details.
If you want to know how to attract more young hams to amateur radio, you have to ask the experts. The experts in this case are young people themselves. That's the rationale behind a youth essay contest launched by the Intrepid DX Group. Organizers are asking U.S. licensees age 19 or younger to write a two-page essay about their personal ham radio goals and their thoughts on attracting more young amateurs. Author of the best essay will receive an ICOM IC7300. Deadline for entries is July 31st, and winners will be announced on the DX Group's website and Facebook page on August 10th. Entries should be sent in text format or as an MS Word attachment to intrepiddxgroup@gmail.com.
A final note, longtime Newsline contributor Don Carlson, KQ6 FM, passed away Friday, June 21st of pancreatic cancer. Besides being one of the voices of Newsline, Don was a broadcaster and voiceover pro. He was also active in the ARRL National Public Relations Committee, ARES, and various conventions. He was named Pacific Division Ham of the Year in 2010. Don Carlson was only 60 years old. We're proud to have had him in our family. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Ed Durant, DD5LP, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Stephen Kinfort, N8WB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks at E5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's a solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
Space weather this week is a bit of hit and miss. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see we have had a finger-like coronal hole that's been rotating in through the Earth's strike zone. It's been sending us a bit of fast wind and keeping us at disturbed conditions with the possibility of aurora. But it's pretty fleeting. It's not going to last all that long before things are quieting back down. Now, on top of that, we also have had some bright regions rotate into Earth view. This is including a new region. This is region 2766. It is a sunspot, but it's an old cycle sunspot. These are the death throes of solar cycle 24. So we've been watching it very carefully. And as this region has been emerging, it actually helped to launch a filament kind of in the northwest quadrant. And so we launched another solar storm, but it is not Earth-directed, thankfully, so we are in the clear. Now, as we switch to our far side sun, this is Stereo A's view, and it's looking at the sun pretty much from the side. You can see those bright regions as they rotate into Earth view. They've been kind of firing off some mini solar storms here and there, including when you watch region 2766 kind of emerge in the middle of this, you can actually see a poof, and you can see that filament eruption, that big solar storm that launched that wasn't Earth-directed. The sad thing, though, is that when you look past these regions, there's really not much going on. The sun looks pretty quiet. So once these regions rotate in through the Earth strike zone, then things will settle down and it may go back to quiet. And although we haven't had many views of aurora from solar storms as of late, we still have had some gorgeous views of noctilucent clouds and of comet Neowise, like this view from Austria. And it was seen in Hungary. We saw views in Spain and down in Greece. And we've had some gorgeous noctilucent clouds as well, like these in the Netherlands. And also, the noctilucent cloud views have been all over Washington over the past week or so. And if you want to catch the comet Neowise, there is still time. So if you want to do it and you're in the northern hemisphere, you need to look to the east-northeast skies just before sunrise, and you'll find the comet between the horizon and just below the star Capella. For more details on this week's space weather, including more details on that old cycle sunspot and that solar storm launch, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Make sure you follow Dr. T on Twitter at Tamitha Scove, and of course, check her out at spaceweatherwoman.com for a whole lot more of what you just saw right there. She's a great follow on Twitter. We've got stuff from Gordon West. We've got more chat room questions with Amanda. That's all coming up next right after this word from ICOM.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo, or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz, 5-watt battery operation with BP272, or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, and live band scope with waterfall, integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios. ICOM reminds you to register now for QSO Today's groundbreaking Virtual Ham Expo. This expo will be filled with virtual exhibits and guest speakers, all from the convenience of your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit QSOTodayHamExpo.com to register. And ICOM invites you to enter weekly after each episode of Ham Nation at icomamerica.com/hamnation. You could win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For July, that new radio is the ICOM ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's a VHF, UHF dual band, one band at a time. It has a new user-friendly interface, built-in GPS, DV fast data mode, terminal mode, access point mode, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's downloadable Android and iOS apps available. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter.
All right. Thanks, George. And wow, what do you say we put an ICOM in our mobile and go mobile? But, you know, many of you say, well, if we go mobile, you got to have a huge antenna for high frequency. Well, 10 meters is 8, 15 is 11 feet, 20 meters is 16 feet, which you could do, well, we'll show you in a minute with a telescopic whip. 40, yeah, that's 32 feet, and 75 meters, 64 feet. Let's take a look and see what it takes to easily go lightweight antennas. These are ham sticks. They come from many different manufacturers. I'm not sure if the word ham stick is an official word for any one of the manufacturers, but they are helically wound in the center with a stainless steel tip. MFJ sells them for a little over $20, and they have the 600-watt model, which will give you a little bit more capabilities. I like the 600 watts. Those are about $40. And the ham sticks are easily to mount on a vehicle, as you can see right there. And if you had just the $20 one and you whack it on a tree, it's not like you've lost a ton of money. So think about ham sticks, one per band to get you on the air. And they take a 3/8-24 thread. And the ham stick, if you were to look under the cover, has windings. And these windings will load the antenna for the specific band. And you just look at the base and it'll tell you which band you're on. But, you know, I just look at the amount of coils and the spacing of the coil. And I can tell you that's one either for 40 meters or 75 meters. Ham sticks are good, although I always have issues with a little tiny Allen screws that always booger out. You can replace those with more hefty duty screws that'll take a slotted screwdriver. And remember, the ham sticks, like many of the HF antennas, take a 3/8-24 thread. Now, Diamond has a one per band set of antennas. They take an SO239, with a PL type of mount. And the diamonds are a little bit more expensive, but they will fit on a mount if you got it that terminates to a UHF SO239. So diamond is in there with HF as well. And the diamond even lays down in case you need to get it into the garage. But remember, the diamond takes this special type of mount, not the 3/8 24. Don't even think about using an adapter because you'll lose the antenna immediately. If you see any of these around, this is the Outbacker antenna. Now, this is a little bit different than some of the other ones that are sort of Me Too's. This one comes from Australia. Don Arnold, W6GPS, brought him into the country. And boy, if you can score an Outbacker antenna, you plug into the band of choice and you are on the air. They even make a three-way breakdown. Breaks down in three pieces. There's a stainless steel whip that's nestled inside one, so you can even put it in a suitcase for when you go mobile. Well, we all know the great Tar Heel antennas. The Tar Heel antennas, they've got the mini, they got the small, they got the very small, they have the medium large, the extra large. Tar Heel has done just a great job. In fact, I just found them also in an MFJ catalog. Anyway, Tar Heel's a great investment, but they do require a little heavier mount, which we'll talk about next week. So Tar Heel antennas, yes, they are great performers. Try and get your antenna up as high as possible. Here it is on a roof rack. And while you may have a little bit of capacitive loading at the base, normally with an antenna tuner, you can overcome that. And the Tar Heels, again, just so well respected. Now, there's a lot of lookalikes to the Tar Heels, so if this is not a Tar Heel, at least it looks like one, or we know where the heritage came from. This is the Yaesu ATAS automatic tuned antenna system. And when matched with a Yaesu radio, it faithfully goes up and goes down to find the right resonant point. And as you can see on the very bottom there, it doesn't take a huge mount to get that going. And the little teeny stainless steel whip is ultra flexible, so it's not going to get crunched off of your car. And you can even put some of the ATAS antennas on a magnetic mount. And again, next week we'll talk about mounts, but the ATAS, A-T-A-S, is a nice small antenna that does well. This is the Neutronix Hustler antenna. It's got a white loading coil and an adjustable whip. They're a bit smaller if you get the 200 watt, but now you can get the KW one with a big, huge coil. And this one means business. And there's even a tri-band, probably looks like 10, 15, and 20. Don't think it's 40. And it's a good performer as well, getting you on to high frequency. Charlie Gaines says hi to everybody. He's doing a lot of work with the military, and he shares with us some pictures of his Hi-Q antenna. While we haven't seen him on the forefront, he's still there cranking them out. He may even have a new a person, a new organization that's going to be working with him for the ham radio antennas. But the Hi-Q antennas, both motorized as well as manual tuning, and you can see the capacity had on top and then the stainless steel coil, and that's the contactor on the inside of the Hi-Q antenna. Now, we recommend that if you enjoy doing your own coils, to homebrew your own antenna. We see a lot of great homebrew antennas, and many of them are spectacular performers. Some really look weird. This fellow at Dayton a few years ago says, say hi to my friend George. And George was like 2,000 miles away on 15 meters. So what looks like a kludge actually did quite a nice job on the air. That's Leo, the 6-meter guy. I don't know what antenna he's got there, But I got to say, I sure hope he has some, and I know he does, a lot of backing on the inside of that trunk. There's Peter, and he's looking at a big monster antenna. And those monster antennas, they call the screwdrivers, and sometimes they even call them bug catchers. Homebrew antennas have all sorts of different grounding techniques. Here's another ham that parks by the ocean and works literally the world. There's a lot of coils out there that you can, you don't even have to wind yourself, and these coils will load the antenna down. So this one's probably operating on 40 meters because, my goodness, look how long the shaft is in the coil and then the stainless steel stinger on the top. Here's a unique antenna that came from the Great Lakes. We gave it some testing on different frequencies. We aren't sure if we should have had it mounted on a mag mount or what. It was an okay performer, but look at this. You want to talk about an antenna that really screams on 75 meters. Here's one. And the key is you got to get it way up in the air. And the entire mast is all active antenna. So we encourage all of you to think about getting started with maybe ham sticks because they're inexpensive and you can play around with them and see how much fun working high frequency is. Now that we're stuck at home again, a good time to play out in the driveway and play HF with these inexpensive antennas, or I like the telescopic whip from MFJ. It goes to 17 feet. Their $50 one. I think it's stainless steel. 17 feet, drop it down about a foot to 16 feet, and now you have unity gain on the 20-meter band. All of the other antennas you just saw with loading coils, they're a little bit less than unity gain, so you can pick up about 1 dB if you go for the full-sized 16-foot whip using your car body as ground for the 20-meter band. And I think that's what Amanda, I think, is going to do. Amanda, what about a 16-foot whip on your and Jeff's vehicle, huh, Amanda?
Oh, boy, you talk about vehicles. We're getting ready to get a new one. And it's to pull our camper. So I've got to talk about antennas on our camper. I'm thinking that Tar Heel, Gordo, honestly. Pretty sleek, stylish. That's what I look forward to. Something we can go camping with, get on all the bands, and have a lot of fun. Not a lot of problems tuning. What do you think?
Yeah, no, Tar Heel is good. They have motorized ones. And the motorized automatic ones that find resonance, sometimes you have to give them a little bit of a hand because, as we'll explore next week, not all antennas terminate to a 50-ohm match. But there's a way around it, and we'll tell you about it. But Tar Heel, they've really done their homework, and they have just a great system of automatically tuned antennas.
Very good, Gordo. Thank you. And you guys, when we get that antenna for our camper, we'll be sure to take pictures and document everything because this is going to be fun. Right now, we currently go camping and we just throw up a G5 RV and a pine tree, but it's getting tough anyhow. All right, we have some serious questions for some serious youth here tonight. I have some more for Emma and Case. By the way, thanks for staying around and joining us. So the first question for both of you, these are going to be joint questions. Everyone's interested in what is your home setup. Emma, you go ahead first.
Okay. Well, Dan, I share a shack with my dad. So we have, mainly operate off of an Elecraft KX3, and an amplifier at about 100 watts. QRP has been a fun challenge. And then we're also, when I'm down there, I'm stealing a lot of his stuff. So I've been borrowing his, Heil Pro 7 headset a lot. I'm hoping to pick up my own soon, but, for now he's going to have to deal with me. And then we're also using the Heil Parametric, the receive audio system for breaking out audio on SSB, which has been good. And I would soon, I don't operate on CW, but I'm interested in learning. I'm trying to pick it up. So hopefully we'll be getting something in the shack for that soon.
Same, sister. That's a great setup, and I know you guys probably enjoy it and make a lot of contacts. Now, when you work QRP, who are you working? Make it all the way around the world? Or
we've worked some cool places down. I think my first contact was actually down in the Caribbean a while ago. But just kind of, we do get a lot of the United States. I haven't had the opportunity to operate a lot lately. So hopefully getting back into that, but it really, it's depending on the day, I guess. We've hit some cool spots around the world. So trying to make our way around.
That's awesome. Now, Kay, same question. What's your setup and what do you like to operate?
All right, so my setup at home, I have an ICOM IC7300 with a Samlux power supply here. And my antenna, it's not the greatest. It's a vertical antenna, HD-FMJ antenna made by Alpha. It gets all right. It's all right for domestic and everything like that, but for DX, it isn't that great. So and my coax is about 35 feet long, so I can barely get it out farther than as far as my deck, and that's about it. So I got 150 feet coax a couple days ago on DX Engineering, and I'm going to put up a couple of wire antennas, maybe a wire Yagi here. Hopefully that'll come in the next month or so. So my operating is pretty slim at home. However, I do use a lot of remote stations or remote ham radios. My main go-to for working DX, and I haven't really worked very much DX from my home station. I've only worked about Slovenia and Spain for my home station, but that's about it. So hopefully these new wire antennas will work well for me and everything. And for satellite work, I have a Baofeng antenna and a SDR, a Nualek Nesder Smart SDR for working satellites. And it's not the greatest for doing FM but satellites, but it works well. And so hopefully I'll get my rig set up in the next month or so. And coming to the part where you guys were wondering how I got started in ham radio, there's this museum of broadcasting near my house called the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting, and they have their own ham radio shack. I go down there every once in a while, and I walked into their ham radio shack. It was like, what's this? And my dad was like, oh, this is ham radio. You can talk around the world, Antarctica and everything like that. My cousin's an extra class ham radio operator, so he kind of got me started there, grabbed a book, and went from there, and loved it, and couldn't get away from it. I hope to get started in space communication with that in the future, maybe work for SpaceX or the Deep Space Network. That's my hope in the future.
So that's... Thank you, Case, for sharing with us. I appreciate that. And it's interesting that it wasn't like a near parent or something that got you started, but that's pretty awesome. So another question was, where do you see yourself in ham radio 5 to 10 years from now? I think you already gave us your goal, so go ahead.
Yep, working for the Deep Space Network. I love that stuff. It's just amazing. Talk to the Voyager probe on the edge of our solar system. With 1 trillionth of a watt, 0.1, I wasn't even sure, it was like 0.00000001 of a watt. And it's just amazing what ham radio can open up with you. Satellite communication is just amazing. And I hope to do a lot of stuff in the future with ham radio. And Deep Space Network is definitely my goal in the future.
Wow, you blow me away. Thanks, Case, for sharing. And Emma, what about you? Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years in ham radio?
Well, I'm definitely not going to go into a career path with ham radio, but I do want to keep it as a hobby in my life. My dad and I have always joked that when I'm older, I'm going to be operating off the back of one of my horses. But I do want to keep it, like, I want to have property when I'm older, so I'm going to have a couple towers. I'll be operating in 5 years out of a college dorm, but I'm hoping, honestly, just to get more involved and take it slow, learn more, get my advanced class license, just see where the wind blows me, I guess. I love meeting new people in the hobby, so I guess I'll make contacts and find opportunities along the way.
That's a great outlook, and we love it. The next thing is that, thinking about that, what do you plan on doing in your life goals? You're going to go to college. What are your aspects there? What are you wanting to do?
I want to go into veterinary medicine for large animals, bovine, dairy cattle, that sort of thing. Just the genetics and the breeding, and large equine veterinary medicine.
Very good. And my last question, because Newsline had brought it up, they said it takes the youth in amateur radio to describe how to get more youth involved. So, Emma, I'll go to you first. What do you think it takes to get more youth involved?
Well, I found that this youth on the air, even though it was online, it wasn't in person, I found that it was still a very engaging process, just because we had, while it's great to hear from people who are seniors in the hobby and who have been doing it for years, it's also cool to see the perspective of someone your own age and having them teaching you material, showing their experiences. It was awesome watching the balloon launch. Just having that more personal connection with people, I guess, someone you can relate to a little easier. And also, I think that one of my favorite things is definitely I want to get more involved in contesting. I think that young people are pretty competitive, so I think it'll be good to try to engage them more with contesting, with fox hunts, that kind of thing. Just making it more interactive with each other.
Very good. You hear that, old timers? The young guys can stay up later than you can to make this contest. True. Yeah, it's 24 hours, and at like 10 o'clock at night, we're like, oh God, okay, let me spit out one more contact. Oh, wait, Case, I really want to hear from you too. Yeah, you answer the same question. How, from your point of view, how do you get more youth involved?
Well, my friends really talk about live streaming, and there's this guy that we follow. Well, we're doing it right now, live streaming, but there's this guy that we follow, Ray W2RE. We watch his live stream during the winter times almost every day. He's on every morning, and during contests, he live streams. He gets a lot of feedback about that because you're cheating or something like that, but he doesn't show his frequency or anything. It's just not the best thing to do, according to people, but it's really, really cool to live stream a contest. It's just really, really cool. You get so many people involved. Thousands of people watched it. It's during the ARRL DX phone contest, and he got so many people involved working JA and working DX all the time, worked 121 countries, watched him work 121 countries just in the contest. And it's just it gets people involved. It gets the youth involved. And another thing that gets people involved is clubs, which is already very, very prevalent. But live streaming and Discord or any social media that gets kids involved, because gaming these days, people want to watch live streams. So, and kids just like to watch their friends live stream. I mean, You just got to go right to the live stream streaming, and kids think it's so cool that you're working, you're talking to somebody around the world just on HF or VHF, and it just blows their mind that this is bigger than a cell phone. It's way beyond cell phone communication, bouncing a signal off a meteor. Yeah, just live streaming is the best thing for getting youth involved.
Good input, Case. Thank you so much for that. And Don, what do you think? You think these guys are our next generation. They're going to run this amateur radio hobby. I think they should.
They're going to run the world. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I know, my son, he's a ham. He doesn't do any operating, very, very little. I think the only person he ever really talks to is me. But every night, he is in his room. It's not a Pro 7, but he's got a headset on, and he's on the live stream with his video games and talking to his friends all over the world. And, that's a great hook. Because live streaming is where it's at in the gaming community. And, man, you got to go to the kids where they live. You got to go where they live to grab their attention. There's a whole lot more than video games out there. And it's real life. And that's the fun thing. Very cool. Hey, Amanda, you're talking about putting an HF antenna on your truck. Here's an added benefit of running HF in your vehicle. When you finally get sick of Yucca Puck the DJ on your local station, you can just turn the HF radio on and go tune to WTWW and listen to the shortwave. And in fact, you can actually listen to the audio from Ham Nation on WTWW shortwave at 5085 right now. And we thank them for doing that for us. And they're huge friends of this show and huge friends of Amateur Radio Newsline and just Ted and company do a great job over there. And we want to say thank you to you guys. And hello to all the listeners all over the world listening on 5085 at WTWW. You got to check it out in your car. If you have HF in your car, you should check that out. That's for sure. Gordon, we've had a great show tonight. I know you finally made it on late, but do you have any words of wisdom for our young hams tonight, our youth on the air? I know you do.
We need more kids, and I see a cat lady out there. Good for you. And Amanda, great job on the interview. Just a great one, Amanda. So back to you or Amanda. I'll let you two duke it out.
Oh, I could duke it out. So I just have to go over some nets tonight before we wrap it up. By the way, these are open for everyone, anywhere, anyhow, as long as you have the right license privileges. All right. Unfortunately, W7UDI just got a fire call, so I do not believe that there's going to be a 20-meter net tonight. We're also having a wildfire right outside of town here. It's 4 miles west of us, very close to where the Royal Gorge Bridge fire was. That's pretty serious. We hope that BLM gets it taken care of tonight. Otherwise, we'll be called up tomorrow. Okay, nets. Let's go back to that. 14 Charlie for the D-Star net, and we have DMR on 31012, and I do believe Kevin KC7FPF is running on 7192 thereabouts. So thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. Some great content, and rest in peace, Charlie Daniels. We all loved you. I grew up with you. My parents listened to you all the time. Okay, Don, over to you.
Amanda, great job as always. You're a much better interviewer than I am, and I sit here in awe of your skills. Just absolutely amazing. So thank you for being here tonight. Gordon, you're the king. You're the best. Absolutely. Neil, so happy for you and Julie, and congratulations with the Youth on the Air thing. Emma Case, thank you guys so much for being on with us tonight. And, of course, Paul from Intrepid DX. It's been all about the kids tonight, and that's really the way it should be all the time. We should all be thinking about getting the youth interested in this hobby because it's the lifeblood of it. And the kids, the youth, I say kids, the youth are going to be running the world when we're gone. And got to make sure that ham radio is a big part of it. And those two right there that you see on your screen, they're a big part of it right there. So, Emma Case, congratulations for all that you've done so far with amateur radio. And this is a hobby that will continue all the way until the end of your days. And hopefully it'll be a big part of your lives. So that's pretty much all we have tonight. So for Bob Heil and for Victor behind the scenes and everybody else who makes this show possible, thank you so much for being here. And we will tune back in again next Wednesday night for a whole lot more fun ham radio information and knowledge that we can share with you. So until then, we'll say goodnight, 7-3. And we appreciate all of you. And check out WTWW. I think you'll like that. So 7-3, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Ham Nation.
Hi, I'm Jason Howell, host of All About Android, where each week I'm joined by Ron Richards, Florence Ion, and a rotating crew of Android journalists, developers, and enthusiasts, where we talk about the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. You can subscribe by going to twit.tv/AAA or find the show in your podcatcher of choice. That's All About Android.